This episode is brought to you by New Dimension Games, Magnificent Egos, and Grail Ale. Featuring the Piedmont Spelling Bee, the Jaws of Life, and an interview with Dawn Early about revamping Doyle. Musical guests include Evil Ted, Phil the producer, all of this and more as Dead Gentleman presents Dead Air.
Hello?
Hi, Josh. This is Stu.
Oh, hey, Stu. How's it going?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. Can't complain.
What's up?
I'm in a little bit of a bind. I kind of got into this major wreck. Cement mixer totally crushed my car and legs, and I'm pinned in the wreck.
Dude, that's harsh.
Yeah. So anyway, I was wondering if I could have back those jaws of life I lent you.
Well, I'm kind of still using it.
Okay, that's fine. No worries there.
I mean, do you really need it?
Well, my lifeblood is kind of gushing out here, and I can't really feel anything below my chest. But I don't want to inconvenience you. I was just thinking, you know, if you're not using it right now, maybe we could, or, you know, you could swing by and cut me out of my car.
How about if I brought it over and left it with you, then you could drop it off later when you're done with it?
That'd work. That totally work. When do you think you could come by?
Oh, crap.
What is it?
It's nothing, really.
Dude, if you've got a problem, let's talk about it. That's why I'm here.
I just remembered, I've got reservations at Pardini's in a half an hour. I mean, where's the accident?
On 26th and Proctor.
See, that's the opposite direction.
Oh, don't worry about it then.
No, I can be late.
No, dude, no. I don't want to make you change your plans.
Thanks, man, thanks. I know. I'll ask Tim. Ow, what? Hey, man, Stu was in this car wreck, and like both his legs have been cut off. Crushed, sorry. Anyway, he's like on death's door and needs the jaws of life. But I've already got plans and the accident's the other way. You think you could run it by to him?
Smallville's on in like 10 minutes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Tim's show is on in 10.
What are the chances?
Smallville. I could ask him to tape it.
No, dude, that's fine. I'll be okay.
Really?
Well, I'm starting to see long dead relatives floating around, and my life keeps flashing before my eyes. Kind of like that time we went to Baja and got so drunk we puked in the pool.
Yeah.
Ow, what?
Baja.
Yeah.
So, anyway, just let me bring the jaws of life. I'll be late.
Dude, I'm not going to let you let me mess up your plans.
Dude, it's nothing, really.
To dinner, then swing by with the jaws afterwards. Cut me out, and then you can take the jaws home.
Really? You okay with that?
Totally. What are friends for?
Dude, you rock.
No. You rock.
9:30 okay?
I'm not going anywhere.
Awesome. Stay cool, Stu.
Laters. I've got the best friends.
Friendship. Brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
We have Evil Ted in the studio with us, and you know, we're going to play a song I found a little close to home. So why don't you tell us a little something about this?
The song?
Yeah, what's it called, first off?
It's called One Fine Monday Morning. It's a love song. It's beautiful. Chris Swenson is playing the guitar on it, and he's phenomenal. So,
Evil Ted, you have a regular show. Is there a place we can catch you?
You can usually catch me at Shaka Bra Java on 6th Avenue in Tacoma every Wednesday and at least once a month.
Fantastic. We'll look for you there. For those of you who don't live in Tacoma, sorry.
Shit out of luck.
A million thoughts raced through my head that fine Monday morning as I walked into the First National Bank of nowhere in particular. Now, nervous as I may have been, I tried to appear cool and confident in my stride as I walked up to the lobby and walked up to the teller. Her name was Carol, but I called her Sharon. Whatever. Now, my first instinct was to comment on the weather, but then I realized that rain wasn't all that uncommon in Washington at any time of year, so I opted for conversational icebreaker number two.
So, how about that local professional sports team? I asked.
Well, Sharon just kind of smiled and laughed in a fake way, and I laughed back, not wanting to miss out on the fake joke we had just shared together, and I just kind of stared into her eyes for a moment. Things were going great. Can I help you, she asked. Well, I sure hope so, I replied. You see, I got a little girl at home who's three and loves her daddy, but her temperature keeps rising all the time. And I don't know how much longer she'll hold on without a doctor, but his office says my credit card's declined. And I don't mean to sound cliche, I bet you hear this every day, but I'd like to make a withdrawal. The chorus. And I ain't got no checkbook, but I got my 45. And if you do just what I say, you'll keep yourself alive. So there I am, robbing poor Sharon at gunpoint in broad daylight. Now I'm trying not to panic, but more importantly, I'm trying not to make Sharon panic. Without too much success. I mean, she immediately started crying all over the place and piling up stacks of 20s in front of her. One of the other tellers gave her a funny look, but Sharon covered it up real nice by saying how much she was gonna miss my business. Things were going great. But then I remembered that George Clooney movie where he played a bank robber and went to prison, and that Keanu Reeves movie where Patrick Swayze played the bank robber and wore the ninja mask and got killed in the biggest wave ever, and I had to ask her, Sharon, you know that little red button underneath the counter that you press when somebody's robbing? You didn't push that, did you? I mean, I hate to think what could happen to somebody as pretty as you, Sharon, if you push that little red button. I mean, after all, here I'm a big, mean bank robber with a gun, and here you are, a pretty young girl behind the counter with a bag full of money. And after all, Sharon, how'd you think you were gonna get out of the building anyway? Without no legs, without no legs, you'll have no legs at all. Now, I could see that Sharon was very carefully considering what I had just said. I mean, after all, here I was, a big, mean bank robber with a gun, and here she was, a pretty young girl behind the counter with a bag full of money. And after all, I mean, how was she going to get out of the building? I mean, seriously, folks, how would you?
No legs. You got no legs. You got no legs.
Chorus time.
And I ain't got no checkbook, but I got my 45. And if you do just what I say, you'll keep yourself alive. Just put the money in the bag. Just put the money in the bag now. Just put the money in the bag. Just put the money in the goddamn bag. And no one has to get hurt.
Now, all potential amputations aside, Sharon had a quality about her which could really only be described as magical, or maybe terrified. Whatever it was, there was something in Sharon's tear-filled blue eyes as she piled stacks of 20s into the provided gym bag that made me see a different side of Sharon. A spark? Maybe there could be some chemistry between us? Things were going great.
Sharon, I asked.
My name's Carol, she replied.
You see that ever since I got here, I can't get you on my mind. Do you think that you'd like to go and get some coffee? And I got a little cash now, I could also buy you pie and a house and a Corvette, or maybe just coffee. I think Sharon suits you well. Just come with me and I will tell.
It was then that Sharon laughed in a way that wasn't at all fake. She grabbed that bag of money, she jumped over the counter, and she said, I am with you, Mr. Robber, sir. But first I have to ask you a question.
Anything, Sharon, I said.
Well, you got the gun, and you got the money, and you got the girl. How are you planning on getting out of the building?
Without no legs, without no legs, she got no legs at all.
We've been together ever since.
I got my 45. And if you do just what I say, you'll keep yourself alive. She put the money in the bag. She put the money in the bag now. She put the money in the bag. She put the money in the goddamn bag. No one had to get her.
Thank you.
With only two contestants remaining, we are one round away from crowning the winner of this year's Wannabe Spelling Bee. I renew my objection to the subject matter. James, the word is trippin'.
Hey, yo, my name ain't James.
Fine. Jay Cron, your word is trippin'.
Could you use that in a sentence?
These punk-ass motherfuckers is trippin'.
Trippin'. T-R-I-P-P-I-N apostrophe trippin'.
That is correct. Allison, the word is shiznit.
Could you define that?
Shiznit. The one who can be relied upon for his or her athletic talent or ability to improvise structured rhymes.
Shiznit. S-H-I-Z-N-I-T. Shiznit.
That is correct. Jay Cron, the word is biatch.
Hey, could you use that in a sentence?
Cracker, please. We went to the biatch to catch some fiash.
Biatch. B-E-E hyphen Y-A-T-C-H biatch.
Yes. Allison, the word is didn't.
Could you use that in a sentence?
Nuh-uh, girlfriend, no you didn't.
Didn't. D-I apostrophe I-N apostrophe T. Didn't.
Indeed. Jay Cron, the word is I-T.
Easy, yo. I. A apostrophe I-T-E I-T.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
Oh.
Jay Cron, sit your ass down. Allison, the word is I-T.
I-T. A apostrophe I-G-H-T. I-T.
That is correct. For the win, you must spell one last word correctly. Allison, the word is earth.
Could you define that?
Earth. Where we at?
And could you use that in a sentence?
This MC roll upon your turf, take over the earth.
Earth. E. R. F. Earth.
Bitch, you win.
Yes!
Congratulations. You are Piedmont Prep's wannabe spelling bee champion. Here's your prize. A Beastie Boys and Eminem compilation CD and a chance to be a dancer in a Wyclef video.
Have you had a bad morning? Tough day at the office? Problems at home? Does your day need salvation? Anheuser-Busch may have given you the king of beers, but we at Parsons Brewery bring you the beer of the king of kings, Grail Ale. Named after the cup that caught the blood of the lamb, Grail Ale contains a blessed blend of barley, wheat, hops, and water from the holy grail of legend. Jesus paid the ultimate price for the ultimate beer. So get yourself a bottle of Grail Ale today. And with all other people of God, join us in worshiping the Father, the Son, and the holy crap, this is good beer. Grail Ale, the Son of God, the beer of man.
So Phil the producer is a guy that has been around with us for a long time. So, Phil, tell us about this song. Which one did we choose?
Morning Light. It's like caffeine hitting you.
Caffeine hitting you.
Yes.
Fantastic. This is Morning Light by Phil, the producer.
What do you see when you're listening to it?
It's me.
This light, just slowly rising on, revealing beautiful things to you. Because I was thinking of,
was thinking of driving on the Ballard Bridge, looking around me, and every morning light is just starting to like hit everything, everything like half in light, half in shadow.
Just, you know, behind the mountains, behind the mountains, behind the mountains. And so it's really light outside, but then eventually you see it like hit the top of the mountain, and then just slow. Fucking work to its way down, and then just slow.
We'll be right back. Hey folks, Emily here, and I am having a little chat with Dead Gentleman's Own, Don Early, about a little quick short film that he did a while back called Revamping Doyle, and I know you guys have seen a trailer for it not too long ago in front of, I think it was Demon Hunters, mm-hmm. and Demon Hunters 2, where we
it's
put the trailer.
It's actually on the Gamers DVD as well.
Okay, there you go. Well, yeah. So you've seen it a few places. So Don, tell me about how long ago you filmed this.
I filmed this right at the tail end when we were shooting The Gamers. I started production on Revamping Doyle simultaneously as The Gamers was wrapping up. So we had kind of two separate crews going at once. And subsequently ended up, you know, a shoot that was supposed to be 3 days ended up being spanned over several months. But, you know.
And the release of it has been spanned over several years.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's one of those things where you have a vision for it. It's going to get done. It's going to be really quick. And then, you know, bigger priorities got in front of us. And Revamping Doyle kind of got away from us. Had to kind of set it on the back burner for a while. And now we have the podcast. I'm really excited about it, and we have a new, really great venue to release it. So I thought, you know, I'd sit down. We'll edit it into a serial, and so instead of just one sort of 10-minute short film, we'll see how long it actually ends up being, and we'll release it little pieces at a time. I think right now it's going to be scheduled for just two halves, essentially. We'll see where it goes.
Great. Where did you get the idea for a vampire who's not really good at being a vampire?
Well, you know, a lot of our movies, you know, actually any good movie kind of focuses on the every guy or the every man or the every person. And I've got a fascination with vampires. I think, you know, there's a kind of fun mythos surrounded in that. And I just, you know, was talking around with Matt Vansel, and he and I were up late one night just talking about, you know, how vampires are portrayed in movies most of the time as these sexy, gothic, powerful creatures. But, you know, what if you just had a character who was a geek and happened to be a vampire, and what would that be like? And you know, what if you became a vampire and didn't really want to be, or how would that experience happen? And how do you go through life and tackle the same struggles that you had as a struggling, you know, geek or whatever, and you know, put an undead slant to it? And it just kind of interested me, and so we came up with some pretty cool characters for Doyle to interact with and meet, I think you'll be relatively pleased. I'm pretty excited about Zeke, who is sort of this psychotic vampire hunter who Doyle somewhere along the way pissed off. Oh, we're not really sure, but there's some pretty interesting, funny character moments with him. And
are any of the characters in Revamping Doyle characters that we might see in future Dead Gentleman
Absolutely.
Movies,
Zeke, we have already a sketch written after we wrote and shot Revamping Doyle. He's just kind of a very poignant character. And actually, we've been kicking around the idea of turning this into a feature film. Take an approach. There's a lot of elements in the concept and the story that kind of lends itself to a different kind of feature film. It would be a really heavy sort of character piece with a lot of comedy, sort of almost a pushing a romantic comedy, which if you can wrap your brain around that, but a vampire and, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of fun.
Right. Was the Doyle based on anyone you know, or was it based on you, or?
No, you know, Doyle was based on, I suppose, there's definitely parts of Doyle that is part of my personality, and some of the struggles and hardships that I've gone through early on in my life, but I wouldn't necessarily say that I created a character based on me. I think that Matt and I just kind of put something together through universal experiences that we've kind of both felt and shared. I will share one piece of information about the characters of Doyle, however. I was having a hard time coming up with names for these characters, and I was really stuck. I couldn't think of a title character, and so what I ended up doing, I know this is really lame, and it doesn't get really revealed in the script, but for me it worked. I used Dawn Early, D-O-N-E-A-R-L-Y, and I made up a name for each character with every letter of my last name, or all of my name. So Doyle is Dawn, the psychiatrist is Doc Otis, or something like that. You know, there is Nikki is his girlfriend, and so on. So
nice.
Yeah, I'm a nice dork.
not too bad. Well, there you go, folks. There's I guess a sneak peek, I guess, at Doyle and things that we can look forward to. Thanks so much for talking with me about it, Dawn. And
thank you.
Gosh,
finally, it's gonna see the light of day.
Yeah, audience, keep your fingers crossed that we actually get this one released this time. All right.
I think we're gonna schedule it. We're gonna try really hard, actually, for the next visual podcast. Look for the first installment of Revamping Doyle.
Nice, nice. Okay, well, over and out.
Performers include Christian Doyle, Dawn Early, Phil Price, Emily Olson, and Adam Utley. Our director was Dawn Early. Technical director is Phil the Producer. Editor is Phil the Producer and Ben Dobbins. Scripts written by Matt Vansel and Nathan Rice. All rights reserved, 2006 Dead Gentleman Productions. All music belongs to the artists that recorded them and may not be used without their express written permission. www.deadgentlemanpresents.com, www.deadgentleman.com.